Chapter 4. Basic Driving and Safety. There are an increasing number of new drivers and vehicles on the road. Add to that statistic, the baby boomer population is aging, causing larger number of older drivers to be on the road. The combination of these two factors creates a continuing need for defensive driving training across all age groups. Vehicle accidents cause damage, injuries and deaths because of the force imposed on people and property beyond their breaking points. More than 2.3 million adult drivers and passengers were treated in emergency departments as the result of being injured in motor vehicle crashes in 2009. By managing the force, the sudden transfer of energy in a crash, and by controlling the time and areas it affects, damage and injuries can be reduced. Vehicle occupants can withstand a great deal of force when they are properly restrained. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, establishes and enforces safety performance standards for vehicle manufacturers. NHTSA conducts tests on new vehicle lines using crash test dummies. The dummies are used to evaluate the damage that can occur to the human body during impact. The use of these dummies has resulted in safer vehicles being manufactured today. Anatomy of a crash. Hopefully, you'll never be involved in a crash, because here's what happens. Your car hits something. It might be another car or truck, a tree or a telephone pole. Even at 30 miles per hour, your car is badly damaged. It will absorb some of the force of the crash, but not all. You hit the car. After your car stops, the force of the crash has to go somewhere. Next, it hits you and anybody else in the car. If you are not wearing a safety belt, your body will be thrown forward until you're stopped by something, like the windshield, the dashboard, or the steering wheel. You get the idea. The human body will absorb more of the force of the crash. But it is still not over. Your internal organs crash too. Once your body has come to a stop against some part of the car, the force of the crash goes on inside you. Your brain slams against your skull. Your lungs hit your rib cage. Your kidneys and other organs may also smash into your bones. It is this part of the crash that causes many internal injuries. Crashes can be life-altering or life-ending experiences. That's why your best protection is to properly buckle up every time and to always drive safely. Every day, individuals break laws while driving. The most common traffic violation is speeding. Other traffic laws commonly broken are careless driving, failure to yield, and following too closely. There are some laws associated with driving, however, that simply can't be broken, and those are the laws of physics. Newton's first law of motion states that a body at rest remains at rest unless acted upon by an external force, and a body in motion continues to move at a constant speed in a straight line unless it is acted upon by an external force. Newton's second law of motion states that if you wish to stop or start a body in motion, you must apply force to it too. Momentum is equal to mass times velocity. A moving object has a large momentum if it has a large mass, a large velocity, or both. A marble can be stopped more easily than a bowling ball. Both balls have momentum. The bowling ball has more momentum because of its mass. Changing the velocity of the bowling ball requires much more force than changing the velocity of the marble. Newton's third law of motion tells us that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So, the forces between two crashing cars are equal in opposite directions. Each car experiences the same force during the collision, but the change in velocity will be much greater on the lighter of two vehicles. This will result in greater damage to the lighter car and possibly greater injury to its occupants. Use of safety belts. Buckle up, it's Louisiana law. Louisiana has a mandatory safety belt use law which requires all passengers in cars, vans and pickup trucks to be properly buckled. The three-point safety belt saves more lives than any other automotive safety device. Use of safety belts is the most effective method of preventing serious injuries and reducing fatalities in crashes. People who wear safety belts reduce their risk of serious injury by 50% and also reduce the risk of fatalities by 50%. The chance of an occupant being killed is 5 times greater if he is thrown from the vehicle. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, if all occupants in vehicles ages 5 and older would have worn safety belts in 2009, 16,401 lives could have been saved. While safety belt use has been increasing and polls indicate that the national average of those using safety belts is 88%, there are still those less likely to wear safety belts. Teens, commercial drivers, males in rural areas, pickup truck drivers, individuals driving at night, and people who have been drinking. A safety belt can protect you only if it is worn and worn correctly. Your safety belt should fit snugly across your hips. Your hip bones are strong and can absorb more of the impact than your abdominal region. The shoulder strap should slide over the shoulder and securely across the chest. Keep in mind these reasons for wearing safety belts. They keep you from being thrown from your car. Your chances of surviving a crash are 3 to 4 times greater if you remain in the car when the collision occurs. There is much less chance of being knocked unconscious or seriously injured. If there is danger from fire or water, you can get out quickly. Safety belts keep you in a position so you can control the car. The first impact in a crash frequently throws the driver from behind the wheel and the vehicle is out of control. Crash impact. If you are pregnant, you and your unborn child are much safer if you wear a lap and shoulder belt. By protecting yourself from injury, you protect your unborn child. Properly buckled safety belts prevent you and your passengers from being thrown about inside the car. This reduces the chance of serious injury and death by 60% to 80%. A seat belt is your best defense against a drunk driver. Safety belts save lives. It's as simple as that. Wearing your seat belt is the smartest move you can make to prevent injury or death. Just look at the facts. Diamond suit 80% of deaths occur in cars traveling less than 40 miles an hour. Diamond suit 75% of crashes occur within 25 miles of home. Diamond suit your chances of being killed are 25 times greater if you're thrown from the car. Diamond suit non-belted fatalities have been recorded at speeds as low as 12 miles per hour. Diamond suit once every 10 years, each of us can expect to be in a car crash. Diamond suit, there's less than 0.5% chance of being trapped in a burning or submerged car. Diamond suit, the force of impact at 10 miles per hour is equal to the force of a 200-pound bag of cement dropped from a first-story window. Diamond suit, if everyone that was in a crash was wearing their seatbelt at the time of the crash, 60% more lives could have been saved. While the percentage of adult safety belt use has increased and statistics indicate using safety belts reduces serious injuries and deaths in crashes by about 50%, 1 in 7 adults still choose not to buckle up. There is no good reason not to use your safety belt. From infants to adults, everyone in your vehicle needs to be secured. Lap belts should be buckled snugly across your hips and lower part of your abdomen. The shoulder belt should not be quite so tight. Young children. Louisiana child passenger restraint law requires that all children must be properly restrained and secured in an age or size appropriate passenger restraint system which meets the applicable federal motor vehicle safety standards in effect. The law requiring safety seat belts for children is determined by weight and age as follows. A child 6 years or younger or under 60 pounds may not be transported in the front seat of a vehicle with an active airbag. Birth or less than 20 pounds. At any age, rear-facing, federally approved car seat. 1 to 4 years, at least 20 pounds. But less than 40 pounds. Forward-facing, federally approved car seat. 4 to 6 years, at least 40 pounds. But less than 60 pounds. Booster seat with restraints. 6 years, more than 60 pounds. Booster seat with restraints or seat belts. Booster seats are an appropriate option for a child of any age. A child that falls into more than one category for age or weight must choose the more protective category. Motor vehicle injuries are the leading cause of death among children in the United States. Many of these deaths can be prevented by placing children in appropriate age and size car seats. Never hold a child on your lap or buckle yourself and a child into a single safety belt. You are not strong enough to hold onto even a small child in crashes or sudden stops. Never allow a child to ride standing on a seat. As a parent or a caregiver, use a seatbelt on every trip, no matter how short. This sets a good example. Have all children under the age of 13 sit in the back seat. The middle of the back seat in a passenger car is safer than the front seat. For more information on safety-approved child restraint devices, contact your local safety council, hospital, doctor's office, state police troop, or Louisiana Highway Safety Council. www.dps.state.la.us/tiger-closing-parenthesis. Airbags. An airbag is a flexible membrane that inflates rapidly with air or another gas during a head-on or nearly head-on collision. Side and front airbags have been proven to be an effective safety device. Airbags do not replace safety belts. They supplement the safety provided by reducing the chance of the vehicle occupant sustaining a head or upper body injury from encounters with the vehicle's interior equipment. The recommendation for the 10-in-2 hand positions went out when airbags came in. The reason is that the airbag, when it deploys, comes out at speeds of 150 to 200 miles per hour. If your hands are on the upper part of the wheel, the traditional 10-in-2 position, your hands can be thrown into your head, causing a serious head injury, or your wrist or forearm can be broken. Thumbs have been severed because of the speed at which the seams of the airbag cuts across the hand. The recommended positions are 9-3 or 8-4. Most vehicles without rear seats or with small rear seats, such as pickup trucks or sports cars, have a passenger airbag on-off switch as standard equipment. The purpose of the switch in the off position is to disable the front passenger airbag to transport a child age 12 or under in the right front passenger seat. Vehicles now equipped with airbags require drivers to do the following. 1. Sit at least 10 inches away from the steering wheel equipped with an airbag, otherwise the bag can explode into you, causing serious harm. 2. Use the 9-3 position or 8-4 hand position. 3. If you have a tilt function on the steering wheel, make sure the wheel is tilted away from the head, preferably toward the chest. 4. Older, frail persons and children 12 and under should sit in the back seat. Front seat airbags have killed children and older people. Airbags do not deploy when you are rear-ended by another car. Remember, airbags are a supplementary restraint system. Your safety belt is your primary restraint, and, for you to get the best protection with your airbags, you need to use your safety belt properly. Other vehicle safety features. Headrests protect vehicle occupants from whiplash. Adjusting your headrest is an important step before driving. Steering wheels are being designed to absorb the impact of the driver being thrown against it rather than remaining rigid. Newer model vehicles are designed with non-projecting knobs for interior equipment, padding on the dash and front ends that crumple during an accident, further protecting the vehicle occupants. Improvements in vehicle safety are added yearly to new vehicle models. Side impact airbags and rollover curtains are now available on many vehicle models. Some models now offer cross path detection to let you know when someone is crossing your path when you are backing out. Lane departure detection. Accident avoidance. Applying the brakes when you don't stop in time before hitting an object in front of you. The terms active safety and passive safety are simple but important terms in the world of automotive safety. Active safety refers to technology assisting in the prevention of a crash, and passive safety refers to components of the vehicle, primarily airbags, seatbelts, and the physical structure of the vehicle, that help to protect occupants during a crash. Crash avoidance. Crash avoidance systems and devices help the driver to avoid a collision. This category includes the vehicle's headlamps, reflectors, and other lights and signals. The vehicle's mirrors. The vehicle's brakes, steering, and suspension systems. Driver assistance. A subset of crash avoidance is driver assistance systems, which help the driver to detect ordinarily hidden obstacles and to control the vehicle. Driver assistance systems include automatic braking systems to prevent or reduce the severity of collision. Infrared night vision systems to increase seeing distance beyond headlamp range. Adaptive headlamps control the direction and range of the headlight beams to light the driver's way through curves and maximize seeing distance without glaring other drivers. Reverse backup sensors, which alert drivers to difficult-to-see objects in their path when reversing. Backup camera. Adaptive cruise control, which maintains a safe distance from the vehicle in front. lane departure warning systems to alert the driver of an unintended departure from the intended lane of travel. Tire pressure monitoring systems. Traction control systems which restore traction if driven wheels begin to spin. Electronic stability control, which intervenes to avert an impending loss of control. Anti-lock braking systems. Electronic brake force distribution systems. Emergency brake assist systems. Cornering brake control systems. Pre-crash system. Automated parking system. Crashworthy systems and devices prevent or reduce the severity of injuries when a crash is imminent or actually happening. Crashworthiness is measured by a structure's ability to protect its occupants or users during an impact. Much of this research is carried out using crash test dummies. Seatbelts limit the forward motion of an occupant, stretch to slow down the occupant's deceleration in a crash, and prevent occupants being ejected from the vehicle. Airbags inflate to cushion the impact of a vehicle occupant with various parts of the vehicle's interior. Laminated windshields remain in one piece when impacted, preventing passage of unbelted occupants' heads and maintaining a minimal but adequate transparency for control of the car immediately following a collision. Tempered glass side and rear windows break into granules with minimally sharp edges, rather than splintering into jagged fragments as ordinary glass does. Crumple zones absorb and dissipate the force of a collision, displacing and diverting it away from the passenger compartment and reducing the impact force on the vehicle occupants. Vehicles will include a front, rear, and sometimes side crumple zones too. Side impact protection beams. Collapsible universally jointed steering columns, with the steering system mounted behind the front axle, not in the front crumple zone, reduce the risk and severity of driver impalement on the column in a frontal crash. Padding of the instrument panel and other interior parts of the vehicle likely to be struck by the occupants during a crash. Cargo barriers are sometimes fitted to provide a physical barrier between passenger and cargo compartments in vehicles such as SUVs, station wagons, and vans. These help prevent injuries caused by occupants being struck by unsecured cargo. They can also help prevent collapse of the roof in the event of a vehicle rollover. Other factors. Vehicles are equipped with a variety of lights and reflectors to mark their presence, position, width, length and direction of travel, as well as to convey the driver's intent and actions to other drivers. These include the vehicle's headlamps, front and rear position lamps, side marker lights and reflectors, turn signals, brake lamps, and reversing lamps. School buses and semi-trailer trucks in North America are required to bear retro-reflective strips outlining their side and rear perimeters for greater visibility at night. Some studies indicate that color may be a factor in determining safety. Lighter color cars seem to be involved in fewer accidents than darker colors. Vehicle condition. Any defect which may affect the safe operation of the vehicle should be corrected as soon as possible. If the engine coolant, engine oil, battery water, tire pressure and condition, and vehicle lamps have not been checked in the previous week, you should check them or have them checked at an automotive repair center. You may check your vehicle on a pre-trip inspection and find that it needs some minor repair. If you change the oil or battery, check with your local regulations regarding disposals of these items. It is not environmentally safe to just discard these items. There are many facilities located throughout the state that will take used batteries or motor oil. There are also several agencies that will take your old car for donation and you may receive a tax credit. Do not simply abandon your vehicle if it stops running. Your old car could still benefit someone else. Preparing to drive. You should always conduct a pre-trip inspection of your vehicle before driving. This will ensure that not only is your vehicle well maintained, but also that it is safer to drive. Suggested weekly checks, during fill-up at gas station or make it a weekend project. Check tire pressure to ensure it is within the pressure range listed on the tire. Ensure tires have adequate tread, at least 1/16th of an inch depth between all treads. Ensure tire wear is even on all tires and check for dry rot, cracking, bumps, bulges and separation of the tread from the tire. Make sure oil level is within the vehicle's operating range listed on the dipstick. Check battery for corrosion on terminals or leakage. Check engine compartment for fluid leaks. Make sure the radiator level is within operating level on the overflow tank. Make sure there are no cracks in lenses for headlights, tail lights, and turn signals, and make sure they are operating properly. Make sure the horn operates properly. Make sure fuel cap is present and fits properly. Inspect seat belts for unusual wear or malfunctioning parts. Suggested monthly checks. Start or end of the month project. Check mirrors and windows for cracks and check windshield for cracks in the wiper operating area. Check condition of license plate for readability and reflective properties, and damage or scratches, which would affect the appearance of the plate. Ensure brake lights and emergency flashers are working. Ensure wiper blades are not streaking and are cleaning the windshield properly. Check the spare tire, jack, and emergency equipment for serviceability. Ensure power steering, brake, transmission, engine oil, and battery, if applicable, fluid levels are within operating ranges. Check the vehicle owner's manual for their location and proper levels. Note: as with all projects, think safety first. Make sure your vehicle's engine has cooled down before checking under the hood, and ensure the parking brake is applied while making all suggested checks. You've checked your vehicle to be certain it is roadworthy and safe. You are now ready to get into the vehicle and start the engine. Entering and starting your vehicle. Before entering your vehicle, check your tires. Make sure they are not low or flat and that tread is not worn away. Make certain there are no leaks under the car. Make certain the mirrors, directional signals, head, tail, and brake lights are clean and not broken. Check around for any obstacle that might interfere with safe driving. Look in the front, under, and behind, scanning for any objects in your travel path. Walk around your vehicle. You may need to move a child's tricycle or some other object. Notice if there are children standing or playing near your vehicle. Never drive impaired. Getting ready to drive. You are now in the car. Before starting your engine, make sure all windows are clean. Remove anything blocking your view. Adjust the seat so you can reach the pedals and controls safely. Adjust the seat and head restraint for comfort. Adjust the inside and outside rear view mirrors. Make sure all doors are fully closed and locked. Make sure your car is in park or neutral gear. Make sure you and passenger are correctly belted. Check gauges to assure they work and accurately reflect engine conditions. Make sure the windshield wipers work and that there is sufficient cleaning fluid in the reservoir. Make sure you are mentally and physically ready to drive. Once you are in the car, you may want to reposition the driver's seat. Proper seating position maximizes your visibility and your ability to react quickly to emergency situations. In addition to avoiding distractions and driving defensively, being seated comfortably is a key to driving well and driving safely. Follow these three easy steps to adjust your driver's seat, but remember, always adjust it before you drive. 1. Check your headrest. The headrest should be positioned so that it will fully support your head when you lean back. 2. Pay attention to your arms and elbows. In your normal driving position, your elbows should always be slightly bent when you're holding the steering wheel. This will prevent your arms from becoming overextended during turns so that they don't tire as quickly. Slightly bent elbows also give your airbag enough room to expand in the event of a crash. Remember to sit at least 10 inches away from steering wheels equipped with airbags. 3. Bend your knees and plant your heels. As you press on the gas or brake pedal, your knees should always be slightly bent to prevent an injury in case of an accident. Your right heel should also be firmly planted on the floor so that you can shift your foot between the gas and brake pedal without lifting your whole foot. Starting and stopping. As you put your key into the ignition switch, turn the keys smoothly and slowly. Some cars today are equipped with push button or remote start. Once you hear the engine engage, release the key. Move your right foot over the accelerator pedal and gently but firmly press on the accelerator pedal, causing gas to be supplied to the engine. Do not stomp on the gas pedal or race the engine, but aim for a smooth acceleration of the vehicle. Use the ball of your foot and toes, not the whole foot, when accelerating. As you are driving, you want to maintain a safe, steady speed. Periodically, check your speedometer while driving. As you are slowing down or decelerating, do so smoothly. Do not brake suddenly so that you jar yourself or your passengers. Ease up on the accelerator and slowly apply pressure to the brake pedal. Always stop far enough away from the vehicle in front of you so that you can see the bottom of the tires. Never move your car until you have looked around for pedestrians and oncoming traffic. Then signal and move into traffic when safe. When you back up, turn your head and look back. Don't just look into the rear view mirror. Check to make sure your mirror is in the correct position. The proper angle can change from morning to evening, especially if you are tired. Note: never turn your vehicle's ignition to the lock position while it is still in motion. This will cause the steering to lock if you try to turn the steering wheel and you will lose control of your vehicle. Skills in driving. While advancements in vehicle safety technology are being made, it is still the driver's skills that control the vehicle. There are three basic skills of the driving task. 1. Physical skill. The person's coordination with the vehicle. 2. Social skill. The social interaction with others on the highways. Unfortunately, we are not always very social people. Drivers are often inconsiderate. Road rage is on the rise, and much of that has to do with our unsociable behavior while driving. 3. Mental skill. Driving is a mental skill that involves decision-making every second we are behind the wheel. Most everyone can physically drive a vehicle. However, being a defensive driver involves mental awareness of not only our actions but the actions of all other drivers on the road. Driving habits. Driving habits are formed because the same physical actions are required over and over again. Your tendency to reduce these repetitive actions results in the formation of bad driving habits. The following topics may not be in the highway regulatory law, but they can help improve your driving skills. Remember, being a safe and defensive driver is not just a good habit, it is a skill. This skill could save your life or the life of someone you know. Driving habits of poor efficiency can be divided into three categories: strategic decisions, which include engine tuning, tire pressure, and motor oil use; tactical decisions, which include route selection, traffic congestion, and load weight; and operational decisions, which include idling, speed, aggressive driving, and cruise control and air conditioner use. Of these factors, route selection, speed, and engine tuning are indicators they have the highest potential to sap fuel economy. Items such as tire inflation to road selection can add up to transform even the most fuel-efficient automobiles into gas guzzlers. For instance, the owner of an EPA-rated 30 mpg vehicle with poor eco-driving practices could see his average fuel economy drop as low as 17 mpg. The government-mandated corporate average fuel economy for cars was 27.5 mpg in 2011, but those numbers are determined by EPA testing and not by the actual driving experience of automobile owners. The greatest factor in determining automobile transportation efficiency is vehicle occupancy. Since 1960, vehicle occupancy in the United States has fallen 30%, causing the average energy intensity of driving to rise by about 30% in turn. Hence, there are more cars on the road with only one occupant, the driver. While which car you drive can make all the difference in the world, it certainly isn't the only factor in determining fuel economy. The simplest, most cost-effective ways to increase fuel economy is not in the hands of manufacturers but drivers themselves. In theory, a combination of good car maintenance, smart driving, and whenever possible, carpooling, can be just as powerful a fuel saver as buying a green car. Tips for more efficient driving and improving fuel economy. Sensible driving. Keep your engine properly tuned. Keep your tires properly inflated. Use the recommended grade of motor oil. Keep a log of miles driven and fill-ups. Observe the speed limit. Remove excess weight. If possible, don't drive during peak traffic. Use cruise control on highway driving. Avoid stop and go driving. Avoid excessive idling. Combine errands. Park in the shade. Being practical when it comes to driving makes sense. It saves time and money. Being more economical while driving reduces gas emissions and air pollution. It also reduces the need to spend more money at the gas pumps. Tires. As a driver, you cannot neglect the fact that you need to learn about car tires. Keeping your tires properly inflated can improve your gas mileage by as much as 3.3%. Properly inflated tires are also safer and last longer. The correct tire pressure for your vehicle is usually found on a sticker located on the driver's side door jamb. You can also check your owner's manual. The first type of tire is the all-season or standard tire. This type of tire is suitable for all types of usage and it works regardless of wet or dry condition. The tread on the tire is designed to minimize the noise and provide more grip in a wet condition. However, this is not always the best tire to use for icy road conditions. The second type of tire is the performance tire, which is used for faster cars. This type of tire is durable in dry weather but not suitable for wet weather. Use this type only if you live in a dry area with little rain throughout the year. The third type of tire is the winter tire, which is extremely durable against extreme weather such as snow and ice. This tire is not to be used in dry conditions as it will get damaged on the road. Steering. Steering is unbelievably important in so many regards, both for speed and safety. A well-designed car does not suddenly break into a skid. As the tire approaches the traction limits, it tends to slip sideways across the road. The angle between the tire's actual path and its natural path is called its slip angle. This gives the driver advance warning that the front, rear of the car is in danger of losing traction and starting to skid. If the rear tires approach their traction limit more rapidly than the front, the rear of the car will steer a wider path than the front wheels. This rotates the car more than the driver intended and, if nothing is done, leads to the car turning a smaller radius corner. When this occurs, the car is said to oversteer. Oversteer is when the car turns more than expected. It is a phenomenon whereby the rear tires lose its traction before the front wheel during cornering. This causes the rear of the vehicle to slide towards the outside of the corner, thereby creating a feeling that the car is trying to spin. Rear-wheel drive vehicles are more prone to oversteer. This is because the rear tires must handle both the lateral cornering force and engine torque, resulting in the rear tires approaching their traction limit more rapidly. Oversteer can be quite dangerous as it can land the car in a spin. Many drivers instinctively slam on the brakes when the vehicle begins to oversteer. Slamming the brakes will only aggravate the situation, causing the rear tires to lose more traction. The correct reaction is to reduce the steering angle gently and ease off the accelerator. If the front tire approaches the traction limit more rapidly, the effect is that the front of the car takes a wider radius curve than the driver intended. The car is said to understeer. Understeer is safer than oversteer. If the car understeers and no correction is made, the result is a wider corner than intended. The car remains stable. If the car oversteers, the turn made has smaller radius than intended. The smaller radius produces higher cornering forces, bringing the required traction even closer to the limit of the rear wheels, thus causing even more oversteer. The situation will worsen until the rear wheels lose total grip. The car spins and all directional control is lost. Understeer is when the car turns lesser than expected. It is a phenomenon whereby the front tires lose its traction before the rear tires during cornering. Front-wheel drive vehicles are more prone to understeer. This is because the front tires must handle both the lateral cornering force and engine torque. This results in the front tires approaching their traction limit more rapidly. Many drivers instinctively increase the steering angle when their vehicles understeer. Increasing the steering angle increases the cornering force, making the front tires lose traction completely. The correct reaction is to lift off the accelerator and apply the brakes. By doing that, more weight is transferred to the front tires to give them grip. Steering methods. There are four methods of steering, which can be used when turning at intersections, moving through curves, changing lanes, evasive actions, off-road recovery, operating vehicle controls, parking, turnabouts, and backing. When performed properly, each can provide smooth, continuous steering control for specific vehicle control activities. Hand-to-hand steering. Use hand-to-hand steering, commonly called push-pull steering, when turning the wheel during normal driving activity going forward above 10 to 15 miles per hour. When using hand-to-hand steering, your left hand grasps the wheel between 7 and 8 o'clock and your right hand grasps the wheel between 4 and 5 o'clock. Depending on the direction of the turn, your right or left hand pushes the wheel up and the opposite hand slides up, grasps the wheel and pulls down to continue the turn. While the pulling hand moves down, the hand that initially pushed up slides back toward its original position to make adjustments as needed. You should use the area on the wheel between 11 and 8 o'clock with the left hand and the area on the wheel between 1 and 8 o'clock with the right hand regardless of the direction of the turn. Simply reverse the hand-to-hand process to bring the vehicle into your intended path. Since your hands and arms never cross over the steering wheel, there is less chance of injury to the face, hands and arms in the event of a frontal crash when a vehicle is equipped with a driver's side airbag. This is the preferred method of steering. The 2 and 10 o'clock position is not recommended because it can be dangerous in vehicles equipped with airbags. Hand-over-hand steering. Use hand-over-hand steering when turning the wheel at low speeds, such as at an intersection or when parking the vehicle. When using hand-over-hand steering, your left hand grasps the steering wheel between 8 and 9 o'clock and your right hand grasps the wheel between 3 and 4 o'clock. Depending on the direction of the turn, use the right top third of the steering wheel to move the wheel to the right and use the left top third of the wheel to move the wheel to the left. This process is repeated as necessary. Simply reverse the hand-over-hand process to bring the vehicle into your intended path. Evasive action steering. When anti-lock brakes are engaged, if equipped, and steering inputs are required to avoid a hazard or the vehicle is forced off the roadway, it may be necessary to limit the steering input to avoid moving out of the intended lane of travel and across other lanes of travel. As speeds increase, much less steering input is needed to move the vehicle one lane space to the left or right. Modern vehicles only take 45 to 90 degrees of steering to move a vehicle back on the road after an off-road encounter. It is critical to limit the steering to not more than 180 degrees of steering when trying to evade a problem on the roadway. When more than 180 degrees of input is used, traction loss occurs and the vehicle often moves across the roadway in the path of oncoming vehicles. One-hand steering. Use one-hand steering only when backing or operating vehicle controls, wipers, flashers, lights, etc., that require a temporary reach from the steering wheel. When the driver is required to reach for an operating control, it is important to keep the other hand in the normal vehicle operating position of 8 to 9 o'clock or 3 to 4 o'clock, depending on the steering wheel design. The only time that 12 o'clock is recommended is when backing a vehicle to the left or right and the driver has to turn in the seat in order to see the path of travel. Cornering. Every corner is made of three parts: the entry, the apex, and the exit. The entry is where turning begins. The apex is the point where the car reaches the furthest point on the inside of the turn. The exit is when the car is driving straight again. This 10-point plan explains how to get cornering right. 1. Both hands on the wheel, at 9 and 3 o'clock. You can neither safely nor correctly steer a car one-handed, or with your hands in the wrong positions. It's that simple. And there is very little, if any, need to reposition your hands during 99.9% of open road driving in a reasonably modern car. 2. Look as far around the bend as possible. Eyes are the main thing that steers a car, not hands. Look where you want to go, as far ahead as possible. You'll get more time to react if there's an obstacle ahead, and the process will be much smoother. Look through the side mirror if necessary. Don't stop at the border of the windshield if the bend is tight. If there is vegetation, try to see as far ahead as possible. 3. Judgment. The open road is not your widescreen television. There are real risks, such as oncoming traffic and roadside obstacles. Be conservative, and employ safety margins, no matter how good you think you are. Always be prepared for the unexpected. 4. Speed matters. The right speed is very hard to judge in cornering. Why? This is because cornering load, or force, depends on speed squared. That means doubling the speed generates 4 times the cornering force. 50% more speed in a corner generates well over double the cornering load. It's easy to exceed the available grip under the tires, because small changes in speed make relatively big changes to cornering load, and that makes the right speed hard to judge. Unfortunately, advisory speed signs are notoriously inconsistent. 5. Slow in. The most efficient, smoothest way around a bend is to enter it a little on the slow side. Entering too fast may cause a loss of control. Slower in means smoother on the way through, and faster out, a safer, more efficient way to travel. 6. Smooth is safe. Rough driving is a great way to lose control. If you find yourself pushing the wheel aggressively, giving the car too much gas or braking on the way around a bend, you're in dangerous territory. And you're showing how little you really know about driving. Slow down a notch, drive smoothly. Be gentle on the controls, all three of them, wheels, brakes and steering. 7. Entry. Ease off the gas as you turn in. This causes a little weight to transfer forwards, adding weight to the front wheels and helping the steering grip the road. Don't go over the centerline when making a right turn. Keep out wide to maintain a safety margin against wayward oncoming drivers. Steering and acceleration work together. Lifting off the accelerator and turning in with the steering is a natural combination that helps the car do what you want. 8. Mid-corner. Add a little acceleration, not very much, just enough to balance the car up, and keep looking around the bend on your intended travel path. If you start to run a little wide, ease off the accelerator and add some steering. You shouldn't have to move your hands very much in the middle phase of most corners. 9. Exit. The opposite strategy to entry. As you see the corner open up and some straight road ahead, add some acceleration, gently, and start unwinding the steering. The car should transition smoothly from cornering to straight ahead if you get it right. Remember, cornering is about subtle control inputs, not gross ones. 10. Planning. Most people get into trouble in corners because they get into them before they sort them out mentally. Then the cornering process drives them, not the other way around. So don't get distracted. Keep ahead of the game mentally, and pay particular attention to balancing the car's entry speed to the corner's severity. Seasonal changes and how they affect driving. The change of seasons brings new and different driving conditions. Each season of the year presents its own driving challenges, from wet and icy road conditions, to vehicle maintenance, to awareness of pedestrians and others using the roadways. Understanding how to drive safely in all conditions can protect you, your passengers, and your vehicle, no matter what the weather. Many drivers can't wait to get out on the roads after the winter thaw. But with spring there is rain, warmer weather, and more activity on the roadways. In spring, the aftereffects of winter weather, potholes and uneven pavement, make road conditions rough. Keep these driving tips in mind before you travel. 1. Spring showers bring May flowers and wet driving conditions. Slow down on slick roads, and increase your following distance even when mist begins to fall. Just a small amount of water can mix with oil and grease on the road to create slippery conditions. 2. Share the road. Warm weather brings motorcyclists, bicyclists, and pedestrians out on the roads. 3. Understand the impact of medications on driving. Keep in mind that new spring growth often causes seasonal allergies, and over-the-counter allergy drugs can have side effects or interact with other medications to diminish your driving ability. 4. If possible, go around potholes. They can throw your car's front end out of alignment. 5. Avoid driving through large puddles, which can impair your brakes, dirty your windshield, or cause you to hydroplane. 6. Keep your tires properly inflated. Doing so can reduce damage from potholes and other road hazards. Summer usually means vacation time and hot weather conditions. To keep yourself safe and cool on the roads, follow these summer driving safety tips. 1. The summer sun can create dangerously hot temperatures in your vehicle. Be sure to check that your air conditioning system is functioning properly before traveling. Do not leave pets or children waiting in a car. 2. Summer temperatures can wreak havoc on your vehicle. Before you head out on the road, be sure to have your car serviced and inspected for safety. 3. Check your fluid levels. This includes oil, transmission, coolant, brake, power steering, and windshield. 4. If planning a road trip, get up-to-date maps from a reliable source. Share your itinerary with family. 5. When packing up for a trip, make sure not to exceed your car's payload capacity. This is the maximum weight of all cargo and passengers that the vehicle can safely carry. 6. Make sure your tires are properly inflated. In hot summer months, for every 10 degree Fahrenheit increase in air temperature, tire pressure increases approximately 1 pound. 7. Warmer weather signals the start of many road construction projects. To safely navigate through construction zones, obey all signs and watch for construction workers and their vehicles. 8. When parked, use a sunshield underneath the windshield. In summer months, it is important to keep heat to a minimum and to protect your vehicle's interior. 9. The end of summer signals the start of school. Be familiar with school zones, and get into the habit of noticing where school zones and crosswalks are on roads you generally travel. When people think of the arrival of fall, they think of colorful fall foliage and crisp, clear days. But along with the changing leaves come changing driving conditions. Fall driving can be unpredictable because of weather changes and the end of daylight saving time. To be safe and aware on the roads this fall, follow these guidelines. 1. Watch out for falling leaves. Once leaves become wet, they can present slippery and dangerous driving conditions. Be sure to watch for patches of wet leaves on the road or on road lines. Dry leaves can also present a problem to your vehicle. Avoid parking your vehicle near leaf piles to prevent fires that could start from your vehicle's catalytic converter. 2. Stay alert on the road. The end of daylight saving time means reduced visibility on the roads, which can create unfamiliar driving conditions. Even on familiar roads, it is important that motorists use additional caution and adjust their driving habits to watch for pedestrians, cyclists, and other roadway users who will be less visible. 3. Check your tire pressure. With frequent weather and temperature changes, tires can expand and contract, causing them to lose air pressure. Make sure tires are properly inflated and have plenty of tread. 4. Avoid sun glare. With the change in time, you may need to adjust to the different morning or late afternoon glare from the sun. It can cause reflections off car windows and hoods and decrease your visibility. Have a good pair of sunglasses readily available to counter daytime glare, and consider lenses with anti-reflective coating to reduce glare when night driving cannot be avoided. 5. Plan ahead for wet conditions. Fall often brings rainfall, which can decrease visibility and cause hydroplaning. Make sure your windshield wipers are in good working condition. If driving on a road with excess water, slow down and avoid sudden movements with the steering wheel or brake pedal. If you feel like you are floating, steer straight and gently release the gas pedal until you feel the tires make contact with the road surface. In an especially heavy downpour, you may want to pull off the road until it's safe to continue. Severe winter weather causes dangerous driving conditions. Whether dealing with snow, ice, or heavy rain and fog, drivers should be extra cautious in adverse winter weather. On rainy, snowy, or foggy days, it is sometimes hard for other drivers to see your vehicle. In these conditions, headlights make your vehicle easier to see. Avoid driving in bad winter weather whenever you can do so. If you must, though, remember that a reliable vehicle is essential. To keep yourself safe on the road in wintertime, follow these driving tips. 1. Winterize your vehicle. When cooler temperature become a factor, make sure your brakes, wipers, defroster, headlights, and heater are all working properly. 2. Stop gently to avoid skidding. If your wheels start to lock up, ease off the brake. 3. Turn on your headlights to increase your visibility. Keep your lights clean and free of ice or debris. 4. In unfavorable driving conditions, reduce your speed. Allow the distance to increase between your car and the one in front of you. Remember that it takes more time to stop on icy roads. 5. Stay alert. Look ahead to give yourself enough time to react safely to situations without suddenly braking or skidding. 6. Before driving, clear ice and snow from your vehicle's hood, windows, and roof. 7. Use snow or all-season tires or chains for better traction and smoother stopping. No snow tires allow you to drive on snow or ice at normal speeds. 8. Take extra precautions on bridges, overpasses, and shaded areas, which can freeze first and remain icy longer than roadways. A road on which ice and snow are completely frozen is pretty slippery, even though it provides more traction than a road with melting ice. 9. In wet driving conditions, do not drive faster than the windshield wipers can clear water from the windshield. Make sure your wiper blades are in good shape and replace them yearly. 10. Equip your car with emergency supplies. Should you become stranded due to weather conditions, do not leave your vehicle. Items such as blankets, food, water, spare fuses, and a flashlight with batteries, an ice scraper, flares, and a first aid kit could become vital necessities. As always, remember that each and every time you drive your vehicle upon the road, you must pay attention to your surroundings, whatever the time of year. Challenges are presented to you every time you drive. The most important safety feature of the automobile is the driver.